kinds of jobs would you like to see created in your district?
I like to see all kinds of jobs, everything from manufacturing to service to entertainment. You know, Illinois receives a lot of its funding, tax revenue on a local level from tourism jobs, and we've focused on that on a local level, and I think we are a major attraction in the northern part of Illinois to attract those tourism dollars, and that's one thing I think we need to focus on because that's where we're having success. Other areas, industrial is great. Everybody talks about industrial leaving not only Illinois but the country. We've seen an increase in industrial jobs up here in the northern area of Illinois by working with these companies to bring them back here locally. So I really want to see a diverse economy here in northern Illinois and Illinois, because if you get top heavy in one area and that area fails, then you see what we have right now in the situations across our state and across our country.
What role should the state government play in creating those jobs that you just talked about?
Well, I think one thing, we're not in the business to employ everyone, but I think the state needs to take an active role to support, A, the local municipalities, because we have the one-on-one basis with each company that decides to locate to Illinois. So I think the state needs to have a supporting role to support the efforts of local economies by giving the tools necessary to create these jobs. And that's through tax base, that's through different incentives, and also just the overall stability of Illinois needs to be improved so that the perception of these business owners and industrial sectors look at Illinois as being a stable economy that they want to move to. Because right now, they look at Illinois and they say, well, the tax rate's at this level, but if I move there, what's it going to be like in 1 to 10 years? So that's really what the state needs to do. It needs to get its financial accounts together so that the stability of the state is projected across the United States to attract these businesses here. So I look at the state and me as a state representative as working with local government officials and local agencies to ensure that on day one a business comes to Illinois, we're ready to get started and to help them locate here, to stay here, and to employ those who live here.
Okay, we're going to switch gears to education now. What direction should the state follow to support K-12 education?
Well, if you look at the state right now, they want to shift all the responsibilities to the local level. And for the past 3 years, the foundation level for the education has been stagnant. It hasn't increased. It's actually decreased, because even the portion that they were paying, you've seen a 5% reduction in it. And with that, we're not fully funding the education programs that are mandated. And we're putting on pressure to increase programs that's not mandated, but we're still not paying for. If you look at the foundation right now, it's around $6,100. And really, it was advised that it should be kicked up to about $8,000. But that would have cost the state an extra $4.1 billion, which they didn't have. And if you look at what they've invested in our education system currently, even though they're paying a little bit more than they did last year, that's going towards the pension system. And if you take that portion out, they've actually paid less to fund education. And that's where we're having the problems. And with the state in this financial disaster that we've seen, they're looking even to take the problems that they've had paying their pension systems, move that to the local school districts, which the school districts are having enough problems right now trying to balance their budgets. I was talking to a superintendent. They're trying to look to cut $5 million out of a budget that they passed. And part of that problem came when the state decided to cut the transportation budget in half, but not reduce the amount of area that they have to cover for busing needs. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these problems on the local level have been started on the state level. And I really think that if you represent the state as a whole for the education system, we need to get the input from the local level to make sure that we're making the right decisions on the state level.
One issue that's come up recently was the role of, the educational administrative and support structure, the superintendents. What should the state do about the educational administrative and support structure in Illinois?
Well, I think one thing, talking with a lot of the administration in different school districts, they want a lot of the red tape cut. Because for them to actually implement a lot of these programs and to fund education, have those tax dollars actually going to education rather than the whole administrative portion of it or the paying of extra, let's just say contractual work.
Sure.
They want to see more of the dollars go directly to funding education. And I think the basis is to talk with them and ensure that we are cutting the red tape, that we're giving them a little bit more free hand to invest these dollars into technology, into the classroom, and make sure that we're preparing these students to meet the requirements for college. Because right now, even those who are graduating from high school, they're going on to college and they're taking remedial courses, which is putting them back at a disadvantage to starting college. And if you look at, we're talking about graduation rates at the high school level, graduation rates for the college level are even lower too, because they have a certain amount of time before life starts to get through college. And if they have to take these remedial classes, it puts them at a disadvantage to get their college degree. And that's one thing in Northern Illinois, we've seen that our secondary education is lacking in this area, which is stalling efforts to bring in these higher paying jobs, because there are jobs here that are available, but they do not have the education or the training to fill some of these jobs, which is stopping other companies from coming into this community.
What is your position on creating health insurance exchanges in preparation for healthcare reform?
Well, I think one thing we need to do is get the state's finances under control. If you look at Medicaid itself, it's costing us a lot of money with eligibility, and the federal mandates that are being putting the strain on what we can or cannot do for eligibility for Medicaid is really tying up the finances. Medicaid will actually top out here next year at about $12 billion for between $12 and $14 billion. And then over the next 5 years, we're looking at, and just back payments for that, around $21 billion. So over the next 5 years, if we think that problems are bad now, we're really going to see them over the next 5 years, and it's really going to put a hindrance on any kind of efforts we do to reform the health care in the state. And I really think that once we elect the next representative to go down to Springfield, these are things that we need to look at. We need to look at more home-based care to get away from more facility-based care. And eligibility, I think, is really number one priority. Even with the mandates and restrictions on the federal level, we really need to put pressure on Congress to ensure that we have the ability to take care of our citizens, but also eliminate fraud and eliminate the opportunities to cut costs.
In another big area where there's talk, when you talk about reform pensions, should there be a split system with existing employees at one level and then new or future employees at another?
Well, we've looked at this issue. They've actually made some steps for new hires. Now, if you look at the constitutionality of it, our last constitution was passed, and within it was some clauses that actually protect the pensions, and that was based off of New York's past constitution back in the 1930s. And basically, that we had a system that had mandated and optional pension systems where the General Assembly could actually play with the mandated portion of the pension systems, which caused that clause to be enacted. And it protects anybody who's currently enrolled from day one all the way until they retire. So the current bill that's being put forward in the Senate that actually wants to do the tier where you go either pay a higher rate or you go to the 401k style, my opinion on it, based on case study of not only here in Illinois, but other states, it's not constitutional, and the unions will fight it in court if that does pass, and we're going to be back to square one. What we really need to do is the Constitution allows us to negotiate that on a contractual basis, and we need to bring everybody to the table and show them that because the General Assembly did not follow the STEP financial plan that was actually there to fund the program to 2045, we need to sit down and come to an agreement on how to reduce our overall debt of the pension without diminishing the overall benefits, because, like I said, it's protected by the Constitution, but we do need to address it. And there are ways to finance it, and that's what we need to do. Basically, we need to look at the free programs that are offered by the state right now and implement user fees. And those user fees aren't there to make money, but they're to cover our costs. And we can use that money then to start paying down our debt obligation, which will free up money for us to go ahead and start paying our back bills, which is costing us about 11% interest right now. And you're looking at anywhere between $4 to $8 billion in back payments right now. So that's basically what we need to do. We need to address the issue by paying down our debt obligation and not expanding current programs.
And you did touch on, the role of unions. I want to go into labor management relations. What is your position on right-to-work laws?
Basically, with collective bargaining, it's mandated only for wages, hours, and conditions of employment, and then they cover good faith in it. Now, we were talking about right-to-work laws. Michigan law expressly prohibits bargaining over subjects such as decisions concerning intra- and intergovernmental contracts, procedures with third parties for non-instructural services, and the use of volunteers in providing services at public schools. And it covers a lot of other stuff. Illinois law actually allows for loopholes in its districts and that. So when I talk to the superintendents in the area and they talk about contractual work and what they have to farm out, there are actually a lot of red tape there so that they are paying more for services. An example would be just a paving project that they had, and basically they actually paid $30,000 more than what the project cost just because of what their contractual needs they were obligated to pay. So I think we need to look at a mix between the rights of the workers and the rights of the government bodies and come up with something that covers that area so that it's mutual beneficial to both parties. And I think that's a step in the right direction to save the state some money and save these different governmental bodies money also, and the taxpayers' dollars overall.
What direction do you think the state should follow regarding rights for same-sex couples?
Well, I think this is an issue that gets kind of heated depending on which side you're on. Other states have passed it, and I don't see a problem with it. I think that individuals should have the right to do as they please, in the sense that I don't see any difference between a man and a woman and a woman and a woman or a man and a man. I think that the state needs to look at it, and I would support it.
Okay, and then on just kind of an overall picture of you, why the audience, why the constituents should choose you, what sets you apart as the best choice for this nomination?
Well, I think the years that I've had in public service, the issues may be a little bit different, but the overall objectives are the same. If you look at the community I've served for going on the 12th year now for the city of Loves Park, we have one of the lowest tax rates here in Winnebago County. We do a lot more with a lot less. The representation that I've given to my citizens, I've always been accessible. I've worked on their concerns, and when their concerns have been low, I've worked for the general welfare of the government bodies to take care of it and ensure that it's healthy. And by doing that, we've created a safe, clean community that has been respected across not only northern Illinois, but we talk to people all the way down to southern Illinois when we go to our municipal league conferences. And they are amazed at what we can accomplish on a local level when you have a lot of the infighting that you see in other communities and the political strife. We take an approach that, you know, we put politics aside. We work for the people and our community, and that's one thing that I think is respected. And if I go on a state level, I'm going to be working with Republicans and Democrats and independents and ensure that we're getting the best representation possible and that we're addressing these problems rather than pushing them off.
And then kind of along that same line, what other issues do you see as important to the district and to the state?
Well, I think one thing is the financial stability of Illinois. We have to look at what our future obligations are going to be, and it's not good. We just passed this huge income tax increase. Last time it was passed, you know, increased was back in 1993 when they made it permanent. We have to take a look at the revenues coming in, ensure that we're not expanding programs, that we're paying down our back debt, which is costing us 11.5% interest, that we're addressing reforms in our Medicaid, which is going to, over the next 5 years, be costing us around $21 billion. We need to ensure that we're working on pension relief, because that's something that's going to be here, like it or not. The General Assembly did not take care of their obligations, and we're the ones who have to deal with it now. So we have to come up with dedicated funding sources that's not going to put a burden on our citizens. And one of the things that I suggest was the free programs, implementing user fees. We have an opportunity up here in Northern Illinois for a casino, which I've supported along with the community for many years. You look at Beloit right across the state line. They're positioning themselves to capture a casino, which is going to bring in tourism dollars. It's going to help generate economic development. There's a lot of missed opportunities, I think, that Illinois has had, and I think with a dedicated person who has the experience of running a good, clean community that showed that you could do a lot more with a lot less by having a low tax revenue stream. We can improve Illinois, but we have to start doing it today. Actually, we had to start doing it 10 years ago, but we need people in there today to start for the future.
Do you think, is it too late for the Northern Illinois Casino? Is Beloit, you know, too far into the process, or is there a chance to gain some ground still?
Well, I think there's an opportunity for anything. We have a casino coalition up here in Northern Illinois. We've been working with state legislators, building trades, hospitality industries. There are a lot of people who want this, but it's being held up on a state level. And this is an opportunity to create immediate jobs, future jobs, bring in economic development by capturing money outside of our community. And a lot of people say, well, you're going to get a problems connected with the casino. But if you look at demographics right now, we have casinos over the state lines in all the states around us, and they bring buses into our community. Our people get on these buses, they go to the community, or they go to the other communities in other states, they invest their dollars there, and those dollars are paying for health programs, they're paying for economic development, they're pumping money into their economy to create jobs, not only connected with the casino, but also businesses surrounding the casino that live off of supplying the goods to those casinos. So I think we have an opportunity here to bring a casino here, to advertise it and draw in that tourism dollars, to turn around and basically the casino is just a small aspect of a diverse economy. And with that, I think that will bring opportunities to invest into other areas, you know, like manufacturing or even other tourism areas.